I'm joined now by Eagles radio analyst, former Pro Bowl wide receiver, member of the Eagles Hall of Fame. Of course, the man to my left is Mike Quick. Hey, it's never a fun day when coaches are dismissed.
You know, usually these things, they don't end well. They end in a bad way. And it's been a great run in my mind. You know, I look at the 14 years, and we've enjoyed a lot of football during that time. And, you know, I know that the end of his era wasn't the best, but, you know, you look at the whole thing, the whole picture, and when he came in 99 and where this team was and all of the – you know, there were so many times when this team was a contender. You didn't think about if this team was going to make the playoffs. You thought about where they would be seated in the playoffs.
Right.
You know, would they have home field advantage throughout, or would – you know, the situation once they were in, because we didn't even give it a second thought whether or not they were going to be in or not. So we had a lot of those years – during the Andy Reid tenure,
yeah.
And I appreciate that.
Mike, when did Andy Reid convince you that he was the right guy for the job? Because I think initially, a lot of skepticism.
I went for probably a couple of years before I really started to warm up and say, okay, this guy has it. This guy has something. This guy has the ability to move men, to, you know, demand, command, and get it done with men. I think it took me 2 years to really warm up to the fact that he could get it done.
Yeah. Why? What was his style? What made him so effective with players? It was a very demanding but low-key approach, at least to the public.
Well, I think the fact that he always, from what I saw, kept things inside. Didn't want to. And one of the reasons why I didn't warm up to him too soon is because he didn't warm up to everyone else. To his players, he was warm almost immediately, and he made sure that they knew his position, that they knew that he was going to always have their backs, that he was a guy that was in their corner, and he wasn't a guy that was going to expose them, to put them out there as the guy that's making the mistake or the guy that's not holding his weight.
Mike, we look here, we're 4-12 here after the season. We are a struggling football team, fourth overall draft, you know, pick. I mean, last place in the NFC East. I mean, I think today we obviously celebrate the career of Andy Reid.
Yep.
But the fact is, this team has a hole to get out of, right? How does this team get out of this hole? And you're talking about teams like the Jaguars, the Raiders,
yeah,
the Lions, the Chiefs, the Eagles don't belong there, but there they are.
Yeah, it's been a long time since we've seen this team in that position where mm-hmm. they're so far down the list. And I think it begins with personnel. I think this team has, in a lot of cases, probably overestimated or thought too much of some of the personnel. And when you see them play, you realize that, you know, some of these guys probably shouldn't be on your roster. And some of these guys maybe shouldn't even be on an NFL roster.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you begin there. Well, it all starts with the new head coach, whoever that is. It begins there. And that guy building the right coaching staff, that guy being a real good leader of men, that guy building the coaching staff that's going to be successful, that's going to be able to make these guys work, see whatever the big picture is, and make these guys work towards a common goal to getting to that big picture.
Do you think this group of players tuned out in some degree or another pieces of the coaching staff?
I think the coaching staff lost a lot over the years, and losing a lot of the talent on the coaching staff, that, you know, that talent is not just knowing the X's and O's, but knowing how to get these men to do what you wanted them to do. And I thought that was missing, that this coaching staff, for whatever reason, they were not able to get these men to do what they needed them to do.
What are the building blocks here, Mike? Realistically, and again, not over-evaluating the talent, not falling in love with what you have here, what do you build on?
I think you build on, you know, providing they come back healthy, an offensive line that has four of the five pieces I think that's needed to be a very good offensive line in this league. I think you've got one of the most dynamic running backs in all of football. I think you build on a Shady McCoy. I think you have a young Bryce Brown that, given the right circumstances, coaching, that he can be a very effective running back in this league. I think you have a young quarterback that has shown a lot of promise.
You think he's got a shot to be good?
I think he does. I think from what we've seen out of him, I think that there's enough there to realize that he has a lot of the things that you need to be successful in this league. He has a good arm. He's a smart guy. He's big. And, you know, when you're 6'6", when you're 240 or 50 pounds, you know, that's a lot. That mm-hmm. that helps a lot when you can see over the trees, as they say. And, you know, a bright guy. And you want a bright guy at that position, a guy that can look over a defense and realize when he's in a bad play, when he needs to get the team into a successful play or a better play. And he has the smarts. You know, it's that aptitude is very important.
Is the offense now, to whomever the coach is the personality of the offense to be more of a run to set up the pass? I mean, would you, even under any scenario, look and say, hey, this is a football team that the offense should come in here, spread it out, throw the football, and run a little bit after that?
Well, given the fact that there's so much speed on this team offensively, when you look at the skilled position.
Still, you still believe that?
I think, oh, absolutely. Who's faster than DeSean Jackson? Okay. Who out of the backfield is faster than Shady McCoy?
Okay.
You know, you begin with those two guys when you look at the speed and the ability to affect defenses. So you still have that speed factor, but I like a more physical team. I like a team that's a little more, like, knocking guys over, three yards in a cloud of dust type of team. Mm-hmm. So you've got to have some of that. Football is a physical game. So I don't think that being just a finesse team is where you want to look. And when you're talking speed, you're talking mostly finesse. But I want to see a team that's going to just knock people in the mouth and take names later.
Michael Vick, what's his future? If you're making the call, Mike.
I think given – well, you have to factor in everything. And given the contract situation, I think it's going to be hard to re-sign Michael Vick and give him the type of money that's in that contract if he's not going to be your guy. Nick Foles is going to be the guy going forward here. So given that, I don't think that – I think that this team will eventually move Michael Vick.
Okay. Does the defense need to be rebuilt more so than the offense if you're –
Yes.
Howie Roseman building this thing. You're addressing the defense heavily in the offseason?
I think so. I think that's where you go. I think there are enough good players offensively that a smart guy can come in here and build an offense that can score some points given what you have. Yeah, you have to add a couple more pieces. I think the tight end position, you want to get another big tight end, big good blocking tight end that can also be a pass catcher to go along with Brent Celek. Mm-hmm. But defensively, I think, is where you have to put most of your emphasis.
Wow.
And especially when you look at the secondary. The secondary needs to be revamped.
Yeah.
Especially if you look at the early part of the season, there are a lot of plays, a lot of touchdowns given up just because of missed assignments, guys just being out of position, out of play. That gets back to coaching, and it also gets back to guys who are just not doing what they're coached to do.
Mm-hmm. We all thought coming into the season that Nnamdi and Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie would make a really sticky group of big cornerbacks. It would be very difficult to throw the football down the field on them. Instead, I mean, they've both been poor this year. There's no question about it.
I thought that 2 years ago,
yeah,
when you still had Asante and you had all three of those corners, I thought it would be very difficult to throw the ball against them. But then after watching them all of last season, I was not so sold on their ability to be shut down guys on the outside.
Physically or the scheme or what happened to Nnamdi Asamoah?
I think Nnamdi, of course, at this stage in his career has lost a step. He's not as fast as he was at one time. And when you lose that, you lose a little confidence with that. The way he plays the ball in the air now, it's just not good. It's poor.
Yeah. He doesn't play the ball in the air. He doesn't turn and look.
That's my point.
Yeah.
You have to at some point be able to locate the football, not just trying to look up the player and getting your hands on the player. He's very good at that, at the line of scrimmage. But then what do you do after that?
But then why wouldn't you put him in that scheme then and just have him go up to the line of scrimmage and put his hands on a wide receiver and not have off coverage?
Well, if you do that, you're going to sacrifice an extra guy every time, because if you're going to press him all the time, then you're going to need a safety over the top to help him out. So then you're sacrificing a player in that situation. Then the guy on the other side, I think he has all the ability in the world. But you got to bring it every time you line up.
Mm-hmm.
And in my mind, he doesn't bring it every time. And some of that is you got to coach him. And I think you coach people differently, individually. I don't think everyone you can coach with the same brush. And that is a guy that I think you have to stay on top of at all times. And when you do that, He plays. He can bring it.
I mean, when you talk about those two cornerbacks with contract issues this year, two safeties that there's just no answer there at the moment. That's a massive rebuilding job in the secondary, isn't it?
It absolutely is.
It's not a one-year fix.
Well, I don't think it's a one-year fix, but you can get it to the point where at least they are in position. At least they are trying to knock balls down. You know, at least you can get them to that point. Because I think on the front end, this could be a pretty good defense. Maybe with just a couple of pieces, one or two pieces on the front side.
Okay. Do you have a favorite who you'd like to see as an exit coach? Do you know anything about these candidates?
Not at all. I mean, I know a little bit about them. I know some of the names that have been floated out there. I know it's going to be tough to get Bill O'Brien from Penn State because of his contract situation there. The talk is about Dirk Cotter in Atlanta, that could be one of the guys, or Roman in San Francisco could be one of the guys. I mean, there are a lot of names out there. I even heard the defense coordinator from yesterday.
Perry Fuel? A team that was the worst defense statistically in the league, I think, going into
that
game?
There are a lot of good names that are out there that people are talking about. But I think if everything's equal, I think the guy at Penn State has done one heck of a job. I think that would be...
Well, stay tuned.
Not going to happen.
We'll see about that as Jeffrey Lurie, Howie Rosen, Don Smolinski go out and conduct their search and interview many candidates. I'm sure they will do all that and be very exhaustive. And I'll tell you, as I said, Jeffrey has done a really good job in these situations.
Yeah,
replaced Rich Kotite with Ray Rhodes, improvement. Replaced Ray Rhodes with Andy Reid, improvement.
Well, and the other thing that he does that I like, and I know coaches appreciate, when he decides to hire a guy to do the job, he doesn't get in his way. He allows the football guy to do the football things, and he supports him, unlike a lot of these owners who want to meddle in your business that really doesn't know what they're doing and kind of disrupt what you're trying to build. And he hires these guys. He allows them to grow and do it the way that they want to do it, and that has proven to be successful here.
Is this an attractive job?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I think, it's a great market. It's a great fan. It's, one of the most unbelievable fan bases in all of football. Great market. A lot of really good talent. It's a very good organization.
Yeah.
I think it's a very attractive
job.
And
he does support his coaching staff very well and gives them really everything every tool they need to succeed.
But this is a very attractive job.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that this is going to be on the short list of all of those guys that are out there, that the names that are floated. This will be one of the jobs on their short list.
Mike Quick, we thank you very much for joining us.
Absolutely.
Happy New Year to you. Mike Quick on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.